Domingo Santana, ooh, I wanna add you to my roster. In Roto, replacing Gio Soto, Giolito, and Brito, baby, where'd my fab go? Near the Florida Keys, there's a place in Miami, that's where you wanna be to get ahead of your league. If you put Posey at sea, he'll help in points or OBP. Heath will approve, cause he's under 30, cause Heath's an ageist on the podcast. Mazzara and Parra project to Amiwara, Herrera, Cabrera. Don't let the bait that scare ya, Machado or Bono or no.
What's up? It is Friday morning. Welcome to Fantasy Baseball Today. We're here to rock your world and tell you who to start and sit in Fantasy Week 22. Hopefully you are advancing in your playoffs or playing Roto and you're awesome. I'm Adam Azer with Chris Towers and Scott White. I start the show with the worst pun ever made on this podcast. Do you guys want more or less of Matt Moore after last night's near no-hitter?
Ah, Adam.
I would say I probably want less of Matt Moore after he threw 133 pitches last night. I definitely don't think Matt Moore is the type of pitcher that I want to see the aftermath of a 133 pitch outing. I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
Is it Scott?
I think as a general policy that's probably the way to go. And he walked three again in this start. So in five giant starts, he's walked three or more. So I'm not sure how much improvement was actually made here. And I was just double checking, make sure he wasn't lined up for two starts next week. He is not. So I think that makes it a pretty easy call. Yeah, probably avoid him.
Now, apparently Matt Moore is using his cutter more, trusting his pitches more, all of his pitches more. I guess worth monitoring, but this was really his first good start in a very long time. So can we just say a pretty unexciting near no-hitter for fantasy purposes?
I mean, Matt Moore's a name. It could be less exciting, but it's it doesn't really change my view of him, this start in isolation.
According to Brooks Baseball, he did throw his cutter 29 times. I believe he had only thrown it 8 times, according to Brooks Baseball, before this start. So
ever?
That is this season.
Oh, wow.
So I guess that is something to keep an eye on, except that it wasn't a particularly effective pitch. He got zero swinging strikes on it.
Element of surprise.
And I do wonder if that might just be a category error on the part of Brooks Baseball, maybe misidentifying a pitch. So
Yes.
It's entirely. He did have 14 swinging strikes, so that's a good sign. But I'm done getting excited about Matt Moore. He needs to show a lot more than what he has.
A lot more, right, Adam?
I'm not the only pun master today. Hey, guess who's winning the Cy Young in the AL?
Whole Camels.
Whole Camels is winning the Cy Young in the AL. He is 14-4 with a 2.67 ERA, and since the All-Star break, 1.59 ERA, and those home runs and those walks, they have pretty much disappeared. 14 walks, 3 home runs, and 56 2/3. Give him the hardware right now, fellas.
I'm giving it to him. Cool. I'm polishing it.
He's been real good. I would still go with Corey Kluber, but Cole Hamels has been really, really excellent.
I'm sorry. I thought I just heard. I don't know. I know that you guys have a new mixer in there because there was a fire on Monday, and Chris has been messing around with some of the effects. So maybe
fire.
There's a Kluber button on the mixer. Did I just hear you say you'd go with Corey Kluber over Cole Hamels for Cy Young?
Right now. Season ends today. Were you trying out the effects there?
Nice, very
did
nice.
Did I mess it up? Did I mess up your whole little plan?
You did. You did mess up my plan.
Sorry, I'm used to having the floor all to myself and not sharing
that's
it.
That's true, true.
Go ahead, Chris. Go ahead.
I don't know.
All right, Chris, you're tripping me out here.
that echo is so delayed that, like, that's a full second after I stopped talking.
That's the slow delay.
Yeah.
The slow delay. Okay. Anyway, Chris, really Kluber over Hamels?
Cole Hamels gets it now. I think Corey Kluber will be better by the end of the season.
All right. Fair enough. Guys, good afternoon. How are you today? How's your Friday going?
It is exactly noon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not quite afternoon yet, Adam.
Sorry. No, I got 12:01 over here.
Afternoon.
Yeah. So
I never really thought about the word afternoon literally like that. That's...
Yeah, noon.
Afternoon's just been afternoon. I haven't really thought of it as afternoon.
Noon exists for 1 minute, yeah. And everything else is afternoon.
Afternoon. So why is it morning pre-noon?
And why don't they make the whole plane out of the black box?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Why did they call them apartments when they're together?
That was very Stephen Wright-esque of you. So today on the show, of course it's Friday, so we'll talk about hitters to add, hitters to drop. As you're getting ready to set your lineup, we'll look at the most added list, the two-star pitchers. Nice outings last night, to varying degrees. Encouraging stuff from Robbie Ray, James Paxton, Tom Kohler, Daniel Norris, Chad Kuhl. Do we want any of them? I am excited to tell you about Indochino in a little bit. Go to Indochino.com. Some amazing offers there with our offer code FBT. And Brandon Moss hit 2 home runs. So let's get right to it, guys. The fringy starting pitchers is where we'll start. And Robbie Ray is 73% owned. And he struck out 7 Braves, only lasted 5 innings, and walked 4, but had been pitching pretty well, in his previous 3 starts against pretty lousy competition. James Paxton comes off the DL, struggles in the first inning, and then scoreless for the next 4, gives up 3 runs in 5 innings. He's 64% owned. Don't really know why Tom Kohler's been so good lately, but he's got a 2 ERA in his last 7 starts. He's 62% owned. And then you got Daniel Norris and Chad Kuhl, who are much more widely available in CBSSports.com leagues. Norris, 28% owned, just seems to be getting a little bit better each time out, and he's got a 2.91 ERA in August. And Chad Kuhl, quality start after quality start after quality start, 2.37 ERA in his last 5 starts. Not a lot of strikeouts, but I picked up Chad Kuhl in our podcast league. I gave you a lot of names there. Who do you like on that list?
Well, I mean, my favorite are the ones who are most owned, Paxton and Ray. Yeah. I mean, this wasn't the best showing for either, but Ray has been... his control has been improved. He's shown improved control for long enough that I'll give him a pass for 1-4 walk start against the Braves. And Paxton, you kind of mentioned it was all in the first inning. I believe he allowed four ground ball singles in the first inning too.
Yeah.
So wasn't exactly getting knocked around up there, and was had back-to-back 8 inning gems before going on the DL. So I still feel pretty good about him. The others, I mean, Kohler, you could pick him up for the 2-star week. Cool. He feels safe to me, which maybe makes him someone to pursue this time of year as kind of just a space filler in your rotation, but not a lot of upside there. Just throws a lot of strikes and has been rock solid so far. It's like 2 runs, 6 innings every time.
Every time. And they don't even let... I mean, he can throw 80 pitches and they'll take him out after 6 innings. It's very strange for Chad Kuhl.
It's hard to say what to make of Tom Kohler. Since the All-Star break, he has been much improved, but it's not... He's throwing his 4-seam fastball a little less often, but there's not like one pitch that he's relying on a lot more to make up for that. It's just he's kind of mixing his pitches up a little better, but he's been really good since the All-Star break.
Oh, yeah, and the swings and misses are improving.
Yeah.
Not so much last night against the Royals, but that was the thing. So I watched, you know, a good chunk of the game. Holy cow, Jerod Dyson's catch last night in center field. That was amazing.
That was amazing.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't think – look, maybe I just caught him on a bad night. It ended up being a quality start for Kohler. I didn't think he looked all that good. He's got a nice curveball, but I don't know, Chris. You probably watched a lot more of Tom Kohler than I have. I haven't seen anything that – shows that he's a much different pitcher, kind of like what you were just alluding to. So, you know, is he clear?
Yeah.
Well, let me finish it by asking this. Is he clearly behind Robbie Ray and James Paxton?
Yes. For me, he is.
I would agree with that. Like, I really feel like he's just, like, he's entered streamable territory, but that's all he is. And I feel like that's all he ever will be.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, looking at these pitchers for next week, did we say Tom Kohler is a 2-star pitcher?
Yes.
Okay, Kohler then has the Mets on the road and Cleveland on the road, and he's always been a much, much, much better home starter. But even in this stretch, he's done well on the road in three road starts. So do you trust Kohler with two road starts at the Mets and at the Indians?
I think the Mets one makes it worth pursuing as a whole. I'm not saying like in a roto league, if you're looking to protect ERA and whip, it's a must. But if you're trying to make up ground in wins and strikeouts, and then, of course, in points leagues where you don't care so much about the ratios, I think he's a good choice there.
I agree.
Let's play start or sit for these one start guys. Robbie Ray at San Francisco.
Start. It's a tough matchup. The Giants are good against lefties, but in San Francisco, it's a nice home shift, park shift from where he usually pitches. So, yeah, I would say so.
I'm still going to lean sit in a one-star week, standard mixed league, but he's startable if you need to start him.
Yeah, I would like to see Ray have a good outing against a good opponent. He hasn't really done that, but he's faced a lot of bad ones lately. He's playing who's on his schedule. Not much you can do about that. James Paxton at Texas. I'm a little nervous, guys. Paxton at Texas.
Yeah,
probably sitting there. They're a lefty heavy lineup, but they've gotten a little better against lefties with the additions of Lucroy and Beltran. So, I would probably sit him.
Daniel Norris at the White Sox. Chad Kuhl at the Cubs. South side, north side here. Norris at the White Sox. Kuhl with the Cubs.
Well, probably going to say no to both.
Definitely not Kuhl. Maybe Norris, but probably sitting him too.
Okay, great. Probably should have looked at his matchup before I picked up Chad Kuhl. Oh, well. So, look, I've been talking to a lot of friends lately about custom suits because Indochino.com is our sponsor, and they have this offer of $399 for an amazing custom suit, made-to-measure suit. And I've been, you know, I don't buy these types of things very often, so I've been asking people, is $399 a lot? And they're like, no, not at all. They're paying $800 or more for these made-to-measure suits. And Indochino gives this to you, ships it right to your door. You don't even have to go into the store for just $399. And I did buy an Indochino suit. It is an amazing bargain. I had the privilege of going into their showroom and checking things out, but you can do it all from home. Just take my word for it. This is unbelievable stuff, high-quality stuff, the best suit you will ever buy. Indochino.com, Indochino.com. And at checkout, you're going to enter FBT, as in Fantasy Baseball Today. FBT at checkout, $399 for an amazing suit that's going to look great. It's going to last. You can customize it. You can customize the buttons, the lapels, the collar, the lining, the pockets, the monogram. It's just amazing how much goes into a suit, and you're actually going to have a really good time designing it, especially if you get your lady involved. Let her have some input on it. You can do it all from home, as I mentioned. You get free shipping. I'm waiting for my Indochino suit to arrive. It should be here any day. And it's the best piece of clothing I've ever purchased. I absolutely cannot wait to put it on. I'm going to feel so confident for just $399. Take advantage of that offer, guys. If you need a suit, Indochino.com. Suit up. Step up right now. Any premium suit for just $399, up to 50% off at Indochino.com when you enter FBT at checkout with free shipping here. FBT at Indochino.com. Tremendous deal. Take advantage of it. Let's go through some of the big news. Andrew Benintendi is on the DL with a left knee sprain. Should fantasy owners bother picking up Chris Young? He's only 3% owned. He's going to play a lot for the Red Sox in left field. And, you know, overall good numbers.
AL only.
Yeah. Okay, well, daily leagues, if he's facing a lefty, he's got an OPS around 1,000 against the lefties. It's Chris Young.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this sucks. AJ Pollock, 2 out of every 3 games. Ew.
Yeah, that's annoying. It's obviously reminiscent of the Jung Ho Gong situation.
Yeah.
And I'm not ruling out Pollock, you know, after a week and a half of this, maybe he does start playing more regularly. Of course, that never happened for Gong. Pollock, of course, is in a different class from Gong. And I think certainly a roto 4 to 5 games from him a week is enough. Points leagues, it would depend on exactly what your other outfield options are. But it would have to be, you know, that third outfielder would have to be pretty high end for me to sit Pollock, particularly if it's a 7-game week for the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, I'm in a 5-outfielder league where I've been stashing him all season long. I've had Melky Cabrera as my 5th outfielder for a while, so I'm going to have an easy time getting AJ Pollock in the lineup, no matter what.
Hey, you know, you mentioned Jung Ho Gong. I was just thinking, I don't know if we've ever gotten this, but have we ever gotten the team name Let me Jung Ho Gong.
I can't say I've seen that one before.
The Gong Song. Chris, yeah. What do you think about that?
Boo!
You knew he was setting up for an effect there.
Yeah. All right. Well, the Gong Song. Great team name. The Mets might push Jacob DeGrom's next start back. Because DeGrom, he looks run down, according to Terry Collins. So, thanks, Jacob DeGrom. You have ruined my fantasy season. That's an overreaction, but it's a little risky. He's supposed to be a two-start guy. It might not happen. I'm not even sure. Do you want to start DeGrom in a one-start week if he makes one start next week?
I do, yeah.
You do?
I do.
Chris?
I don't really know that that's... That sounds like Terry Collins having to come up with an answer for a question he's being asked repeatedly. I mean, it doesn't sound like sophisticated
if he's being
medical
skipped,
analysis.
It's probably the game against the Marlins where he's scheduled to start the first game of that series, I believe, and then he would probably pitch against Washington later in the week. You'd prefer to see him pitch against Miami for sure. Washington can be a tough matchup, but I think you're still starting Jacob DeGrom.
Yeah, I mean, the assumption being he would be on extra rest, I don't think him being Jacob DeGrom, I really care who he's facing if he's that rested.
Well, here's my issue, right? Terry Collins has been pretty honest this year, and he's made a lot of references to his starting pitchers feeling the effects of the long season last year. He talked about it a lot with Matt Harvey and a little bit less so with Jacob DeGrom. But I guess I'm just worried that they skip a start and then something comes up and they DL him, or they skip him again because by that point it'll be September. And he's been horrible his last two starts. So I do believe that this is a genuine fatigue thing. I'm going to take Terry Collins at his word. I don't want to start DeGrom in a one-start week.
Okay. I mean, that's the ultra-conservative play, which isn't necessarily wrong if you're in a win-or-go-home situation. But what I'd lean towards.
In a win-or-go-home situation, aren't you also looking for the best possible outcome?
No.
It depends, I guess, how confident you are in the rest of your team.
Yeah.
I guess if you're the lower seed, you're going for that that David versus Goliath thing where you gotta throw Jacob DeGrom out there and hope you get a great start from him.
Yeah.
John Heyman reported that a Dodgers-connected person said it's doubtful that Yasiel Puig will be back with the team this season. He is dominating AAA, but... not going to be doing that in MLB, apparently. Giancarlo Stanton, not sure if he'll return this season. Lucas Giolito will replace Ronaldo Lopez in the Nationals rotation. Any interest in Giolito?
Nope.
I mean, I'm interested. I'd like to see what he does. If he has a good start, I'll definitely pick him up.
Jose Berríos, you still have a positive outlook for him for 2017 for those in keeper leagues?
I mean, I feel like I should. I mean, it's not because of the results that I wanted. I don't think it's abnormal for a 21-year-old, I think that's how old he is, very young, to come up and struggle right out of the gate. But there was kind of a vague explanation for why they were sending him down and what's wrong with him. Apparently, they are attempting to make some pretty drastic changes to his mechanics. Yeah. In the interest of improving his command, but I mean, I don't know. I'm not enough of a somebody who can watch a game and say, oh, clearly this pitcher's command's off. So I couldn't look at a Jose Berríos minor league start where he walks hardly anybody and tell you, yeah, this guy has command issues. I can't be completely sure if this is an overreaction or not on the Twins' part. But I feel more comfortable if they just let him be because that works really well what he's doing now in the minors.
I would just say going into next season, I'm done with him for this season, but going into next season, he's still going to be 22 on opening day. He's still going to be a 22-year-old with a 2.77 career ERA and 182 AAA innings. That's a lot of AAA work for a guy who's that young. He's dominated as a very young pitcher, so... the fact that he struggled as a 21-year-old, the fact that they're having him go down to work on things for the next couple of starts, I'm not concerned about his long-term future.
Justin Upton stole a base, so he stays productive here. Didn't have two hits like he had the previous three games, but got a steal for you. Hunter Pence left last night's game with tightness in his hamstring, which he had surgery on, and Pence is day-to-day. Eduardo Rodriguez is going to start on Sunday. Clay Buchholz going back to the bullpen. Salvador Perez left after taking a foul ball off his mask. And Gerard Dyson, of course, made that ridiculous catch. You should look it up if you haven't seen it. Are you ready to add the following players? Okay, it starts with Brandon Moss. He's 63% owned. Scott and I talked about him on the podcast yesterday, and then he hit two home runs and made us look good. But I don't know. I guess here's the thing, right, with Moss. Last 28 days now, he has a .643 slugging percentage and 8 home runs. That's incredible. And in that stretch, he's only the number 15 first baseman in points leagues.
Well, where does he rank in outfielders?
I will look right now.
Because I just... You're going back 28 days. I went back to the beginning of August, which was still a little more than this.
It's 26 days.
It's 26 days?
25 days.
Yeah.
It's the 26th.
So he was the 9th best outfielder in points league since the beginning of August.
What? Oh, maybe it just... Maybe the first 3 days of August weren't that good. Last 28 days, he's not 9th, but he's probably about 15th.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So, picking him up as an outfielder, not a first baseman.
Okay.
And I think in a points league, now that he's playing every day, it's justifiable. I still like him a lot more in Roto since he never walks. But
he's a little fringy as an outfielder in points leagues, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, the other guys, though. Are you ready to add any of the following? Carlos Gomez, 49% owned.
No. He's too highly owned right now.
Oh, but how pissed are Astros fans? He hits a home run in his first game with the Rangers.
JD Martinez all over again.
Jed Jerko, 40% owned, and better plate discipline this year. Last year, Jerko had 27 walks to 107 strikeouts. This year, 26 walks to 64 strikeouts, and he's on a nice little run here. Last 3 weeks, he's the number 14 second baseman in points, number 13 in Roto. Jed Jerko, 40% owned.
You could have picked any of the four infield positions to see where he ranks in the last 21 days, because he's eligible at all of them.
Is he really?
Yeah.
First base too, huh? Wow.
Yep.
Yeah, he and Javier Baez both eligible across the infield. And
I would say that makes him someone you should pick up in your Roto leagues. I don't know about head-to-head.
Yes, because even though the plate discipline is pretty, you know, it's decent, he never doubles. So he's basically home run.
There's like 21 home runs, 9 doubles.
Yeah, it's and obviously the lineups are smaller in points league, so I don't see him making a real impact in those. But Roto, he's pretty close to must own, and he may be widely owned at 40%.
Yeah,
because I think it's about 50-50 which format people play on our site. So him being 40% owned, it may cover most of the Roto leagues.
All right, that's Jed Jerko. Let me ask you about Jerko though. Do you think we're seeing a breakout? Is this something that excites you going into next year?
Where's he going to play?
Well, let's say he's a close to everyday player for St. Louis. Do you think he's a good enough player now, improved player?
Probably not, because we're still going to have to contend with all this depth across the infield next year, and I just think he'll get pushed out of that. I mean, to answer your question straight up, yes, I think he's definitely made some improvements this year. He's now a certifiable major leaguer, which wasn't necessarily true when he was with the Padres.
I would say there's something really fluky about the 21 homers, 6 doubles thing, because the year before he had 16 homers, 15 doubles. You know, he's got a 24% home run to fly ball ratio. I think you're probably looking at a situation where his true talent level is probably closer to an even split between home runs and doubles.
I'm noticing a trend, guys, and maybe you can help me out here. Jerko, Brad Miller, Marcus Semien. It seems like there's a pattern of guys doing well, doing really poorly, coming back and doing well again. You know, of course, like I say a lot, to varying degrees. But I don't know. Jason Hayward, I guess. But maybe we should take that as a lesson. For example, Ketel Marte is having a pretty bad season. Maybe he bounces back next year. You know, it's like, do you feel me on this?
Post-hype breakouts.
Yeah, but it's like they've had a good season, got us excited, and then they were garbage. Maybe it'll be Luis Severino. I was really only thinking about hitters, but I don't know.
Marcelo Ozuna is another example.
Yeah,
of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it happens.
Baseball
all the
really
time.
Hard.
I'm working on a theory there. I guess it's not very original.
And then
I'll try
sometimes
to cater.
It doesn't happen. So
I'll try to tailor it a little bit. Okay, next up. Any interest in adding Alcides Escobar? He's 31% owned, and he's pretty hot in his last 17 games. Alcides Escobar.
Still not running enough.
Yep. That's all he's. That's really all he really can do, and he's not doing it.
And he's not scoring runs because he hits at the bottom of the order. And CJ Cron. He has done pretty much nothing since coming off the DL, batting 200 with no extra base hits, one walk, three strikeouts. But before going on the DL, 322 with six home runs and four doubles in the 15 games leading up to the DL stint. For CJ Cron, 25% owned. Are you ready to add him?
Nah.
Okay.
Nah.
Are you ready to drop the following guys? Aaron Judge, 68% owned, one for his last 18 with nine strikeouts.
It's 68%, probably a little too high for him.
Yeah. Yeah, probably still limited to five outfielder and roto leagues. His ownership should be.
That's Aaron Judge. How about Orlando Arcia? Or did I set the wrong name?
What?
No, you got the right one.
Okay.
It's Orlando. Oswaldo's the one who was just cut by the Marlins.
Okay, yeah. I was like, I read it. It said Orlando, and I was like, wait, did I mean Oswaldo? No, Orlando Arcia of the Brewers. Any reason to own him?
No, I don't think so. I mean, you get in a deep enough league, and shortstop's still thinner than some of the other positions, but it would have to be deeper than standard for sure.
Boy, he's been bad. Dansby Swanson, 45% owned. Thoughts on that? Ready to drop him?
I think that's still about right.
Yeah, just a tick above Arcia is what he should be.
Jonathan Scope. He's 88% owned. Last 36 games, Scope is hitting 235 with four home runs, four walks, 30 strikeouts. Are you ready to drop Jonathan Scope?
In points leagues, I mean, him being 88% owned, he is owned in a lot of points leagues. I think you could do better at second base than that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Trey Turner, if he's still out there, he's probably less owned than 88%.
You know, I have Eduardo Nunez listed here. He's batting 230 with San Francisco. But one thing I noticed is five doubles and three triples with the Giants. And I don't know if the home road splits there, but I guess it kind of makes sense. I feel like that's a good park for him. He's not a home run hitter, Eduardo Nunez, but to hit some extra base hits, that seems like actually a pretty good park for him. But Eduardo Nunez is 93% owned. How do you feel about him?
I don't know. Roto, because he's base stealer and there are so few players who fit that description, you kind of have to stick with him. But he's kind of reverted to being a format-specific player for me when for a while there it looked like he was must-start everywhere.
And Chris, are you ready to drop Marcell Ozuna in a three-outfielder league? 96% owned. Chris, Ozuna is batting 203 with five home runs since the All-Star break.
I think he's just getting some bad luck from the BABIP gods. You look at it, he's only striking out 14.3% of the time since the All-Star break. 205 BABIP, the ISO is still pretty strong at 168. You know, you'd like to see him hit for more power, but it doesn't seem like the skill set has just collapsed here. It seems like a run of bad luck. He's got a 162 BABIP in the month of August.
Okay, so stick with him.
I think so, in roto leagues for sure.
That's Marcell Ozuna. Hey guys, let's talk about the rotation from last night and some stinkers from Adam Wainwright and Jay Happ. Not quite a stinker from Happ, but not a very good start. But Wainwright, I guess I could put him on the drop list here. 7.04 ERA in his last six starts. Is anybody ready to drop Adam Wainwright? Yeah, I was kind of annoyed. The guy I'm playing against in the podcast league was smart enough to sit Adam Wainwright. that stinks. Yeah. What do you think, guys?
No, I think it's fair. I mean, I've been the highest person on Wainwright this whole season.
I've been the lowest.
Yeah. I think it's reasonable to drop him at this point, though. I mean, 7.04 ERA in his last six starts.
Wonder if he's just running out of steam.
I mean, considering he didn't pitch last year, I think it's possible. And I don't think this is the last we've heard from Adam Wainwright, but early, you know, in April and May when he was struggling, it was easier to say hang on because he had time to figure it out still. He doesn't really.
Do you trust Jay Happ at Baltimore next week?
Yeah, I do. I do. I mean, the last two starts have been on the shakier side. I think they've both been like 4 runs and 5, right?
Yeah, last night was 5 innings, 4 runs. The other start was 7 1/3, 4 runs with 1 walk and 9 strikeouts, but he did give up 3 home runs at the Yankees.
So he has, I didn't write down how many starts it is, but strikeout rate's been way up, put it in general terms. And that's obviously what we saw from Happ in Pittsburgh last season when he was, when started this whole turnaround to, which started this whole turnaround to his career. So that looks like his last 9 starts. He's had 11.3 strikeouts per 9 innings. And even with these last 2 starts, a part of that, it's a 2.26 ERA. So Happ is actually at his best right now, despite what the last 2 starts show.
Ooh, now this is a tough one here. You got a guy in Jake Odorizzi. You know, it's probably not that tough. Jake Odorizzi has been really good lately. Odorizzi has a 1.59 ERA in his last 8 starts. 5 of them have come at home, where he's got a 2.92 ERA compared to 4.34 on the road. And the road games were at Oakland, which was a great start. At Toronto, not a very good start. And at the Yankees, 6 innings, 3 runs, 2 homers. Jake Odorizzi is at Boston next week. Start or sit?
Okay. Sit. Yes, yeah. Sir. Definitely a sit there.
Mm-hmm.
I like when a pitcher or any player shows that kind of predictability.
It's a tough stretch coming up, though. He's at Boston. The following week, he's against Baltimore at home, but it's still Baltimore. And then at the Yankees.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a rough stretch.
This is what happened to Chris Archer last year.
And then at Baltimore.
Yeah, it's
and then Boston in his next stretch.
It's terrible to be a Rays pitcher. You're a Rays pitcher. Their schedule is so backloaded with such tough matchups. They play the division. Yeah, I'm sure the Blue Jays are on there too, right?
His next 6 starts are at Boston versus Baltimore, at the Yankees, at Baltimore versus Boston.
Wow.
I don't know if you want to start him in any of those starts.
Ooh, wow. Trade him.
I mean, you would definitely, if you did, you would limit it to the home starts.
Yeah, and even that, it's Boston and
yeah,
Baltimore.
But, oh, yeah, it's still questionable, for
he's
sure.
He's faced good teams at home recently and done well. Right. Odorizzi's basically gotten his numbers to basically where they were last year.
Yeah.
It's so weird. Last year, 9-9, 3.35 ERA. This year, 9-5, 3.53 ERA. 1.15 whip last year, 1.21 whip this year. So that's a difference. But basically the same amount of walks per 9 and the exact same amount of Ks per 9. So
a few more home runs this year is really it.
Drew Pomeranz, guys. He's got a 2.40 ERA in his last 5 starts. This was a great one. 20 swinging strikes at the Rays. And by the way, the Rays are no longer good against lefties. They're actually horrible against lefties.
Yeah, Logan Forsythe's fallen off. That was Logan Forsythe's fallen off.
Steve Pierce Logan. Gone too. Doesn't
help. Yeah, that's a concern.
Pomeranz, though, back to being a must start, or we still have concerns?
Yeah, he's good.
Well, a little less than must start, but more often than not.
Yeah.
All righty. So if you could go back in time, you would have started Drew Pomeranz in your FanDuel lineup yesterday. That would have been a lot of fun. Today, unfortunately, no Coors Field, so you don't need to save your money for Rockies. The Rockies are at the Nationals today. And, yeah, I mean, looking at the pitching slate, always a good idea to go with Justin Verlander facing the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Steven Wright might be a bit of a risk. Yeah, I'm not sure you want to go against the Phillies with Bartolo Colon. That seems like a bad idea. Remember, in FanDuel, strikeouts count for a lot. How about Chris Sale and Felix Hernandez matching up tonight? Brandon Finnegan and Braden Shipley. Finnegan coming off a great start. I don't think you want to mess around with him. The bottom line is, you go on FanDuel on a day like today, and there aren't a lot of very good pitchers out there on the board. So you need to find the bargain. You need to find the guy that comes out of nowhere. Maybe it's Drew Smyly against the strikeout-prone Houston Astros. You take a gamble on that. You put him in a tournament lineup, and it could really pay off for you on FanDuel.com. When you sign up on FanDuel, use our promo code home run, and this basically gives you a free entry. What you do is, if you're a new user and you sign up on FanDuel.com with the promo code home run, you enter your first contest, either win a cash prize in that league, or FanDuel will automatically refund your entry fee up to $10 for additional play. So again, it's home run, one word, no spaces. Sign up for a free chance to win up to $10. You enter. If you don't win, you get that money back for another play on FanDuel.com. We love FanDuel. Chris plays like 17 contests today. Think about Drew Smyly tonight and get on FanDuel, play some
fantasy
baseball.
You know who I'll be playing
tonight?
I'll be playing David Phelps against the Padres. That's the play.
There you go.
There it is.
Is he expensive? He's earned it.
I haven't looked yet.
Okay, that's a good idea, though. Phelpsy. Phelpsy boy. Deep League, Seth Lugo and Matt Whistler both had good starts. They're available. Do you guys have any interest in them?
Oh, not really. They both pitched well. Whistler especially, he took a no-hitter into the seventh, I think it was.
Yeah.
But he has a long way to go to regain my trust, as any non-strikeout pitcher would.
The rest of your news and notes, what a strange trade. The Dodgers get Carlos Ruiz from Philadelphia, the Phillies get A.J. Ellis, and the Phillies called up double-A catcher Jorge Alfaro, who might get sent down when Ellis reports.
You know who was killing that trade? Was Dan Heron. A fan of that trade. He apparently the Dodgers pitchers really like A.J. Ellis. And not a fan of that trade on Twitter.
You know, it's funny you mention that. There was a theory last night that Corey Seager kind of gave some credence to. He actually got the hit off Matt Moore with two outs in the ninth. That the Dodgers were just kind of bummed out that A.J. Ellis got traded. He's so popular in the clubhouse that it affected them in the game, and they just mentally weren't in it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I guess there's a chance.
Yeah. Kyle Seager was out for a second straight game. He's 50-50 to play today. Andre Ethier started a rehab assignment. Could Ethier screw anything up for any Dodgers outfielder?
I mean, I guess with how poorly Reddick's hitting since they traded for him, I think going into yesterday's game, and I would assume he had another bad game because only one player got a
hit. Yeah, he did. He might not even play it. I'm not even sure.
I think he had a 4 weighted run created. Weighted runs created plus, where 100 is average. He had a 4. 13 different starting pitchers have been better than Josh Reddick since he joined the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Wow.
Yeah.
Reddick did not start yesterday, which is interesting. Are they going to start sitting him against lefties?
Seems plausible.
Yeah, they had Segedin in right field. They had Kendrick in left field. They had Enrique Hernandez in center field. So, yeah, I don't know that this means anything, this Ethier stuff. Adam Jones, day-to-day with hamstring cramps. He expects to play today. Arizona sent Mitch Haniger back to AAA. Michael Saunders sat with a hamstring injury. Devin Travis hopes to return today, and Jose Bautista was back. He batted leadoff. Don't know if he'll do that with Devin Travis back. We will have to wait and see.
I would hope so.
It's a lot to prove, Bautista, over the flat, both for his own sake, because he's a free agent and I think turned down a pretty handsome extension earlier, and for his fantasy value next year. Right now, it's not looking good. He'll need to show something at his age.
Yeah, you know, I was going to make a dirty joke. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to take the high road, guys. Just not going to do it. Your most added players in CBSSports.com leagues are Matt Boyd, David Phelps, and Anibal Sanchez. Matt Boyd, 2 starts against the White Sox and at Kansas City. Phelps will be a 1-star pitcher next week. And Anibal Sanchez, 2 starts. I think he's a 2-star pitcher this week, actually. Actually, I have no idea. So who do you like from that list? Phelps, Sanchez, and Matt Boyd.
Phelps.
Yeah.
By a lot. He's the one who is must-add, in my estimation. Though, Boyd is one of the more attractive 2-start options who is available next week. So I can understand him being on this list in the short term.
I'm not super sold on Matt Boyd, but he does get to go against the White Sox with James Shields on the mound and the Kansas City Royals with Dylan G on the mound. Those are the projected starters against him. 2 pretty good chances to get a win for him.
Would you start a 1-start David Phelps at the Mets or a 2-start Matt Boyd?
Probably Phelps. Yeah, I would say definitely Phelps.
I would definitely start Phelps and Roto. I think in head-to-head I would go with Boyd because of the win potential there, like I said.
And let's put a little asterisk on it and say, let's see how Phelps does tonight. See if he keeps rolling.
Sure.
Chad yeah. Green is on the most added list. Would you rather have Green ahead of Sanchez or Boyd?
No. Well, maybe Sanchez.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see how Sanchez does on Saturday or Sunday, whenever his next start is.
Yeah, I think Green's facing the Orioles this weekend, so gulp. Carlos Rodon, 75% owned. Chris, do you have pure, unadulterated hate for Carlos Rodon like Scott White does?
I do not.
No, I mean, why does Scott hate Carlos Rodon?
That's a great question.
Every time he comes up, it's like, wow, look at this run Carlos Rodon's on. And it's like, okay, six innings, he's two the, runs, he, four strikeouts.
He
it's all right.
He's the king of arbitrary endpoints.
He's just very Matt Boyd-like, so I don't know why we talk about him in such higher terms than Matt Boyd.
There's a bit of Matt Moore there, where, yeah. You know, big-time prospect, we expected big things, so time we see those good signs, we're going to automatically assume that this is the start of him being good.
Well, and I probably didn't express that as well as I could have. When we're just talking about the production itself from Rodon, removing upside from the equation, we talk about his last few starts like they're in a very different category from Matt Boyd's last few starts. And they're not. They're both kind of, you know...
But one's attached to a pitcher that we think can be very good.
A slightly above average version of a quality start. That's what both of them have been doing lately. They haven't been blowing everybody away.
Yeah.
Okay. That's fair enough. Now, I'm going to give you three hitters who are on the most added list. Tell me your favorite. Keon Broxton, Alex Gordon, Randall Grichuk.
Ooh, Grichuk's been on fire since coming back from the minors. So I would probably go Grichuk, Broxton, Gordon.
I think Broxton's probably my favorite because I... As desperately as you need steals in Roto, though I'd probably lean Gordon in a points league. I'm not sure either quite make the points league threshold.
And now it's time to look at your two-star pitchers for Fantasy Week 22. Wow, 22. Okay, let's start with Roark at the Phillies and at the Mets. We cool?
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Iwakuma at Texas, home against the Angels. We cool?
The strikeouts are way down lately. Texas is a tough one, but I think I'm still starting him.
Points league for sure.
Gerrit Cole at the Cubs, home against Milwaukee.
Sitting him.
I hate so that he bad. Has a two-star week right now.
Mm-hmm.
Points league, I'd probably take the chance.
I'm going to start him, like I said yesterday, I'm going to start him in my Roto league where I'm just desperately trying to play catch up here and hope for the best. But ordinarily, if I were leading, I would sit him. Trevor Bauer, Minnesota, and Miami at home. He's not pitching well, but love the matchups.
I'm definitely starting him against those two teams.
Yeah, good matchups.
Julio Teheran, San Diego, and at Philadelphia. Talk about good matchups.
Definitely starting Julio Teheran.
Yep.
Yeah, Scott, even with the velocity issues?
Yeah, the matchups are too good to play around with that.
Dan Straley at the Angels, home against the Cardinals.
I would not start him, but I'm not a Dan Straley fan.
Yeah, I think it's a good time to start him, if only for that Angels matchup.
Now, Straley is facing Matt Shoemaker in his first start. So would you guys rather own Straley or Shoemaker? They're both 79% owned, so we're talking 10-team leagues here. Shoemaker has Cincinnati at home and Seattle on the road.
Shoemaker's strikeout rate has really fallen off over the last, five or six starts. I think ever since he had that big, 13 strikeout complete game, his strikeout rate's really fallen off.
Yeah, it has.
I think I'd still rather have him this weekend moving forward than Straley.
Right, but it is surprising that it's even a conversation
yeah.
based on where we were with Shoemaker a month ago.
All right, you cool with John Gray? Oh, I don't know if I'm cool with John Gray. Two home starts against the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks.
Sitting him.
Again, points leagues, I'm much more likely to take the chance.
Do you know
in a Roto league, if I needed to catch up specifically in strikeouts, I'd probably take the chance there too.
Do you know which team has the lowest OPS against lefties this year? I know John Gray is not a lefty, but just reminded me of something. Do you know the lowest OPS against lefties?
I would assume it's either the Dodgers or the Diamondbacks.
Oh, it is the Dodgers, my friend. The Diamondbacks, I think, are pretty good.
Yeah.
Keep that in mind with Matt Moore, too. All right, some more interesting guys. Oh, how about this one? I think you got to do it, yeah. Rich Hill at Colorado and home against San Diego.
I think you got to start him. Me too.
Zach Davies, St. Louis, and Pittsburgh. St. Louis at home, Pittsburgh on the road.
I don't think I'm starting him.
It's okay if you need an extra start. It's a little behind Matt Boyd in terms of sleeper two-start pitchers.
So you'd rather have Matt Boyd, okay.
Yeah.
Joe Musgrove, Oakland and at Texas.
I would not.
Man, Oakland.
Yeah.
See, after Musgrove made that awful start, he wasn't in line for two starts, but I guess he is. I don't know what changed.
Right.
I hate when that happens. I hate when you've convinced yourself a guy doesn't deserve to start, and then he has two starts right after that. It's like, ugh.
I know, yeah.
It would depend totally on circumstances here. It's a big risk reward play.
All right, so you're not starting James Shields. Sean Manaea, CC Sabathia. I don't know that there's anyone else that you can consider.
No, the low end guys are really bad this week. There's a lot of Baltimore, Boston, Toronto, New York on the bottom half of that schedule of their list.
I don't know. Sabathia at Kansas City and at Baltimore, that's scary.
Yeah, I think I'm sitting him. I'm not going with Manaea against Boston. I don't think there's any other two-star pitchers worth talking about.
Okay, then. How about that? You know what? We got time for some emails.
Great.
Yeah, I know.
We didn't yesterday, did we?
No, we didn't. Yesterday we had an abbreviated show.
I want to throw out there before we get to the emails. Wade Miley is a two-star pitcher this week. According to Fangraph's WAR, he has been more valuable as a hitter than a pitcher this season.
Wade Miley?
Yes.
Wow. An American League pitcher at that.
Well, he was, you know, he's in the NL first.
Who did he start with?
Was he with the Diamondbacks?
Wade Miley?
Am I from
no, he Miley? Was Red Sox. No, I'm sorry.
No, Seattle.
Mariners and Orioles this year. He was with the Diamondbacks
originally. No, I was thinking
originally.
Patrick Corbin. That's who I was thinking of. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Had
so
the stat entirely we got the, wrong.
Yeah. Wrong
Forget
player
what I
completely.
Said. Boo!
Here's an email from Jeff in Tulsa. Dear on-base percentage and slugging percentage, please explain why on-base percentage and slugging percentage aren't superior categories to their counterparts of home runs and batting average.
We like counting stats. You know?
We do, yeah. It's fun.
No, I mean, in terms of player evaluation, he's probably right, but It more percentage stats in a Roto or a categories league invites more abuse in terms of exploiting part-time players who happen to have really good splits or whatever. You want everyday players to be valued.
You
want to
value attendance. You know?
Yeah.
this is like school.
Right.
Kyle wants to know if you would consider dropping Gerrit Cole.
I mean, we're not starting him this week, right?
It depends. I probably would, but if he let me put it this way, if these two starts continue along the same trend, then we're probably dropping.
We're not starting him this week against the Cubs and Brewers. If he struggles against the Cubs, which seems likely, that's why we're not starting him. Yeah,
I might start him though.
You're not.
At a points league, I might.
No.
You know, you can afford to waste a start in a points league because most bad starts in a points league are still worth positive.
Yeah.
The really bad, like 7 earned runs in one inning, okay, that's a crooked line.
But Wainwright was negative yesterday.
Well, that was a really bad start.
I know, but I bet Cole has been negative.
I bet there have been some starts of his that are negative, but I don't think he's made a habit of it. Because it's been a lot of like...
I'm not dropping him. I'm not dropping him.
Okay.
Who's dropping him? Come on. What are you going to do? You drop him for... There's not a worse player on your roster. You're going to drop him for Matt Boyd? You're not doing that.
Well, there are some shallow leagues
Phelps?
Out there. There are some leagues where a guy... you know, the teams that are in the playoffs now are the ones who are playing the most attention, so their rosters are just stacked. Yeah. I mean, that is a realistic scenario.
Additionally, you could theoretically drop somebody like even Gerrit Cole, and he wouldn't be picked up because maybe only four teams are still involved.
Yeah.
I think he would be picked up, but there's a case. Okay, Nick wants to know who to drop for A.J. Pollock. Hunter Pence, Wilson Contreras, who he lists as an outfielder. Mark Trumbo, no. David Dahl or Aaron Judge? Let's narrow it down to Pence, Contreras, or Judge. Who would you drop?
I would probably drop Judge or Pence. What format?
Didn't say.
I would drop Judge.
Let's see where this hamstring thing goes for Pence, though, because that's apparently flaring up on him again.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good point. Another, who should I drop for what's his name? Pollock?
Pollock.
This is from John. Should I drop, let's see. Well, you're not really giving. This is what happens when I don't read the emails before.
Got to screen the emails, Adam.
Billy Hamilton?
Nope.
He's got to drop somebody. Tulowitzki?
Nope.
He already has. He has Segura. He has Bregman. He has Dozier. He has Zobrist. Do you just drop Pollock?
That's rough. Yeah.
You drop Chris Davis?
I mean, like
with a C or K.
I would expect AJ Pollock to be better than Billy Hamilton moving forward, for one. But like, I'm not dropping Billy Hamilton. That's a really rough spot to be in.
Yeah, this is tough.
I mean, if that's what it came down to. Was it points or categories? Or
10-team categories league.
Categories.
So he doesn't want to drop Billy Hamilton and lose the steals. He doesn't want to drop Gene Segura and lose the steals. Tulowitzki's on his bench right now. That's probably him or Bregman would be the most interesting one.
He's been so good since coming back from the DL. You have to drop somebody here for Pollock, I think. And
might be Bregman.
It might be Bregman.
Todd Frazier?
Ooh.
I don't think he has a third baseman, though. That's the problem.
Bregman?
Oh, yeah. Are you telling me you'd rather have Bregman over Frazier right now? Is that what we're deciding?
That would be a first time I've decided that, but I don't know. It's maybe.
You might have to update some rankings then.
I might have to. I know I moved Frazier down a lot, but maybe not quite enough.
This is a good question. Adam in Chicago. Seems like Wilson Ramos has come back down to earth in recent weeks. Do you think it's worth dropping my fringiest starting pitcher, David Phelps, in order to carry a second catcher in case Ramos continues to slip? If so, who do you like better, Yadier Molina or Mike Zunino?
Not for one of those catchers. Yeah. Gary Sanchez was still out there. That'd be a different conversation.
Hey,
let me
tell you something.
Zunino's been awesome.
Wait.
He hasn't.
Okay, let me blow your mind.
Go ahead.
I'm pretty sure Yadier Molina is a top five catcher in points leagues.
He is.
Yeah, because he plays every day.
Yeah.
So don't dismiss that here.
Well, I can dismiss that.
He's fourth.
Can I
because
share?
Guys like Russell Martin, Gary Sanchez, and Yasmani Grandal have been so much better over a recent period of time that, you know, isn't a short period of time, but enough that I'm buying them over Yadier Molina, despite Yadier Molina's overall line.
Yeah. One more?
Can I share a bit of trivia with you?
Yeah.
Scott already knows. Let's see if Adam can figure it out. Who is the number one hitter in rotisserie leagues over the last 28 days?
Ooh.
He's a middle infielder.
Yeah, I was saying Brad Miller.
Not Brad Miller.
Hmm.
Got off to a really slow start this season.
He guessed Segura.
Not Segura.
Really slow start. Brian Dozier.
Brian Dozier, your number one player in rotisserie leagues over the last 28 days.
I bet you it goes back further than that. I bet he's top three over the last 2 months.
He's been awesome.
Yeah, amazing. All right, last one here. Who would you drop for a two-star pitcher? Kevin Gausman, John Gray, Carlos Rodon, Gerrit Cole, or Michael Pineda?
I think I'm probably going Pineda.
Between him and Gausman for me.
Yeah. I would assume they both have similarly difficult schedules.
Yeah, I think I'd lean Pineda. I think he's unusable right now, and it's that time of year where you can't really afford to have unusable players around.
He's unusable, unless you're me, in our 16-team podcast categories league. Then you use every freaking week.
16 teams, yeah.
Yeah. And that's why you're not going to make the playoffs, Adam. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Chris, good job on the effects today.
Thank you.
Scott, have a great weekend. Talk to you Monday.
All right.
Whoa. All right, I got to end this now.
Never use that one again.
Things are going crazy. See you later, everybody. Have a great weekend to all of you out there, and good luck finishing up week 21. We'll talk to you in week 22. Machado or Bono.